The unthinkable coming back against that Dodgers bullpen. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Yeah, man. I am well, I think. So much for 2 hours and 28 minutes of baseball here in the World Series. They changed that in a big way last night. I think I'm going to be able to make it through today. Yeah, after watching all that extra baseball.
4 hours and 19 minutes, but every bit of it felt dramatic,
yes,
especially at the end, where both these teams put on an unbelievable show. And it really was fitting because 2017, post-steroid era, was the year of the home run. We had talked about why home runs were up and so many being hit, and is it the baseball, is it everything else? And that was on full display last night. And this Houston Astros offense that we have been knocking because they only seem to show up at home in the postseason, at least in the last couple of series, they showed up in a big way and at the most important time. And it really came down to the Dodgers bullpen that has been just at 1.28 scoreless innings. You think about how good they've been, how great Kenley Jansen has been, coming down to him being on the mound with a one-run lead and it not getting done. That's what it is. And I know Dave Roberts was receiving all sorts of criticism because of everybody had to go to in the bullpen. He ends up with Brandon McCarthy in his lap, a guy who's made three appearances since the end of July, hasn't pitched since the beginning of October, and you should have left Rich Hill in. And if you left Rich Hill in a little longer, then you wouldn't have to go so deep in the bullpen. Bull. It came down to exactly what he wanted.
Right.
Kenley Jansen with a one-run lead, and he finally blew a save.
It came down with what they've been doing all season long. Their starting pitchers don't go that long. They rely on that bullpen, 98-0 with a lead after the eighth inning. Say that again, 98-0 with a lead after the eighth inning, and finally someone got to them. They're 98-1 now. That being said, Rich Hill was pitching well. He was pitching well. I would have left him in there. And you saw his reaction when he learned he was out of the ball game. He was highly upset, as usually pitchers are. We said this about Joe Girardi. I think it was game two of the ALDS. With CeCe, pull CeCe. CeCe gives up a hit and he pulls him. You throw out those numbers sometimes during the postseason because it's such a small window. It's such a small situation here where you have to get a feel for what your guy is doing. You've seen him throughout the season. Now, the pitcher's not 162, but you've seen him a lot, right? You know, 20, 30 starts per pitcher. So you get a feel for that guy. Okay, he's doing well. They've got some hits here and there. He's been able to work out of trouble. You got some timely double plays. You have a feel for him. So I don't think he escapes criticism, but surely you give all the credit to this Astros lineup that finally has awoken in a big way with all the home runs, back-to-back, Altuve, Correa. I mean, it was just impressive to see them come back both those last two innings of this game last night.
Yeah, and I really do think, though, and I tend to agree with that it has to be half of the going by the book and half of the going by the gut, but with the L.A. Dodgers this year, doing exactly what Dave Roberts has done has produced the same result, which is a positive one, every single time. And why would you go any other direction, especially when it's third time through the order? And the numbers with the Dodgers starters third time through the order, they go way up. And this is what they do. And also, he had Kenta Maeda there. He had a bunch of right-handed hitters in that Houston Astros lineup. With Hill, of course, they stacked the righties in the Astros lineup. And then you bring in Maeda, the righty, at that point, which is what you've always done. And once again, I'll bring it to the fact that your closer, who has been a borderline Mariano Rivera, and I say borderline because I don't throw that out there lightly, borderline Rivera, finally someone got to him. And that's really what it was. And the rest of it, then it got crazy from there. I mean, it's home run after home run after home run. And that was just nuts. And some of the most unbelievable. I mean, those were like five straight, are you kidding me, moments in this baseball game. But I don't blame Dave Roberts at all. I really don't for that situation. And it's a shame that Brandon McCarthy had to trot out of that bullpen when you never thought you'd have to use him, especially in Game 2 of the World Series with the game on the line, but that's the way it shook
and
out.
And also with Maeda, you bring him out, and he's been hitless throughout the postseason, and so why would you take him out? I would have left him in at least another inning. You mentioned those six straight right-handers that came up for the Astros. Okay, I'm leaving him in there for a couple innings. Then you're asking your closer to go out there and get six outs. Almost did it, but almost doesn't get you a W in the World Series. And Houston accomplishes exactly what they wanted to do. Get one. Let's get back home for three and see how this works out.
Yeah, that to me is a point that I think is a better one if you want to go to Dave Roberts in this one. It's not so much of when Rich Hill came out. It's also Maeda, an inning and a third. Tony Watson comes in, and I know that he's more of a lefty specialist guy, but two-thirds of an inning. Stripling only faced a single batter. You know, so I mean, it's that right yeah. there where you can look at and say, and I saw Tony Watson in Pittsburgh for a while. It's not that I shouldn't call him just a lefty specialist. This is a guy who can get both righties and lefties out. You can go longer with those guys than you did. Maybe there should be the criticism if you want to go to Dave Roberts as opposed to when you took Rich Hill out.
Well, I'll go with that criticism then because you used a whole host of guys last night. And not only does this have a bearing on this ball game, now for the rest of the series, you've seen a lot of the arms in that bullpen now if you're sitting over there for the Houston Astros, so you know what to expect. And Stripling comes out and immediately walks a guy, so that's the reason he sees one batter. He doesn't give you anything. Brendan Morrow, who's been around for a while, I remember him from his days with the Blue Jays, you know, pitches pretty well. But going back to the end, you have your closer out there. Kenley Jansen has been just outstanding all season long. Doesn't get it done here in the postseason. So I think we can expect a wild one from here on out because home runs were just flying out of that park last night. You want to blame it on the heat? I don't know, the pitching, what have you. But going the opposite way, and as far as the Dodgers getting to Verlander, that's what they did. They went the opposite way on him. And, you know, Ballinger with his big blast, and that was going the opposite way. Something I didn't see my Yankees do a ton of in that ALCS. So just an incredible ball game. Puig just missing the diving catch, and he comes back and blasts a home run. It was just play after play after play, drama after drama after drama, and it was exciting, even though it was late.
No, of course it was. And also you had the bat flip stuff where you had Correa who basically threw that thing into the atmosphere, and then Puig, when he hits a home run, he's been known for his bat flip antics throughout his career, just gently lays the thing down.
He's still down.
Right, if it was an infant. But still, I mean, it doesn't really matter to him.
Right,
I mean,
true.
He's always...
That's true.
I wouldn't be surprised at some point if he lit that thing on fire and threw it up into the air. And then Springer comes back in the 11th, and this guy hasn't done a damn thing. And then you see him break out of the slump with a home run in the 11th. And then Culberson, you think that here we go again.
Well, Culberson, he did the plea. He just won the World Series for those guys where he tried to round the bases. Marwin Gonzalez.
Well, that's the biggest one. That's the one that tied him, Marwin Gonzalez, off of Maeda. That's definitely the biggest one. But that was crazy, and it was as much flack as baseball gets, and I will give it for its longer games, and it's boring, and it's tedious, and there's too much specialization in the game, and the replays will drive you nuts, and it's too regional, and you could be bored to tears at times in 2017 with our attention spans with baseball, especially with a younger generation. I mean, I don't know if it gets any better than what you see last night. I mean, I don't think you could write a better script, and when you get games like that, with everything on the line, it's sort of like last year in Game 7. I mean, like that, they're just so unbelievably memorable. And now, I mean, it's extreme to say that the Astros won the World Series last night. It's extreme to say that, but it's not that far off because this team they don't lose a lot of games at home. I mean, they really don't.
They haven't lost one yet.
And I think that the Yankees giving them all that they could handle in the ALCS will probably end up helping them here because tell me a time where the Dodgers had their backs up against it this year. Find me that time. Until right now.
Well, when they were going through that slide.
But they were so far ahead, it didn't matter.
No, it didn't matter. But it hurts when you lose it in the manner in which they were losing. What, they lose like 11 or 12 straight?
Yeah. So, I'm not talking about it hurting. I'm talking about some real pressure. Some real live baseball pressure.
Well, this is there's no comparison to being in the World Series and having
ALCS is a comparison. NLDS is a comparison.
You want to talk playoffs? Yeah. No, they haven't had their back off up against the wall. No, that's why I went back to the regular season. And does that pressure compare to what they're experiencing, what they might experience here? Because they're not reeling just yet. It's still tied 1-1, and they have as good a chance going back to Houston, although Houston hasn't lost in this postseason at home. They have a good chance to go and steal a couple there. But no, they haven't experienced any pressure thus far in the 2017 postseason.
Yeah, and to me, I'll still stand by it in the regular season either, because it's different when you're fighting for your playoff lives every single day towards the end of the season, and I'm either going to go to the postseason, we're going to go on a run and try to win a World Series, or we just lost a bunch of games where we were never in jeopardy of not going to the playoffs. And that's how the Dodgers went through that slump. They were never in jeopardy of it. Now, is that something that type of take is what analytics people are allergic to, right? That that whole, well, this pressure and moments and clutch and bull crap, like, no. They won't want to listen to that. But I do believe that could be a factor.
No way that's comparable to what you're dealing with now when it's elimination series and it could be all over, you know, in an instance. No way. But yet you can draw on a player individually can draw on. Well, I was going through a slump during that little time during the regular season. How did I get out of that? How did I handle it? So from an individual standpoint, yes, maybe you could find some solace in the fact that you've worked your way through that, but you don't have as many games now to work your way through a slump.
So a couple of things that were ancillary to the game last night. The first one was, I mean, I had like a perma smile while this was going on. Like, I'm, you know me, I'm as cynical as humanly possible. Like, I'll roll my eyes at the stories that everybody cries at. Like, that's just who I am, who I've been. But when Vin Scully came out, yeah, and he had the microphone in his hand. I know a lot of this has to do with the fact that, you know, we're in broadcasting and someone like that is just
revered.
Yeah, yeah. The top of the heap in a profession like this, even though we do a different type of thing in a talk show and he's been a play-by-play guy. But you know, him walking out with that microphone, telling, you know, talking to the crowd and then the millions of people that were watching on TV, and to put on that show was just as good as it got. And the whoever came, whether it was Vin or a collaboration or someone in the Dodgers who came up with that whole thing, you know, I was thinking to myself, like, this is Hollywood right here. Like, this is the showman show. And he goes out, he's telling stories, he's on the mound, he can't throw out the first pitch, he goes against Fernando Valenzuela, Yeager comes out to be the catcher. That right there, I can't remember, you know, other than some of the things we've seen where, you know, a son or daughter of a serviceman is throwing out the first pitch, and then the catcher is their father who has returned home, and they don't know it until he
takes
them. Like, that stuff will get me, too. That's waterworks right away. But as far as, like, a first pitch, ceremonial first pitch, I can't remember anything as cool as that ever in my entire life. And then you can even hear it in Joe Buck's voice when he took it back from that, like how happy he was being able to witness that in person.
Yeah, you know, those who've been in this business for a long, long time, especially those play-by-play guys like a Joe Buck and many others, they see that. And a guy who may, I don't even think you can argue it, probably the best of the best, and who did it as long as he did. What, 67 years he was the voice of the Dodgers there, or at least been in the business that long. And then to have that moment, and for Dodgers fans to see Yeager out there, to see Fernando. And then you've got the guy who called all their games and winning World Series. That was a grand moment for all involved, not just the Dodgers, but baseball fans.
I had it on. My wife goes, who is this guy, and why is he talking so much? And I said, shh, please. This is the greatest two have ever done it.
Has he scored a touchdown?
Yeah, right. Is he going to the Stanley Cup? And I just said, listen, you got to let him talk.
Give me a moment.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
I'll explain after he's done.
Right,
okay?
Yeah, when he's done. And I just quickly, like, angrily was like, he's the greatest play-by-play man I've ever seen. That's who he is.
What did you say?
Right.
You say that again.
And then I almost gave her my one Vin Scully story, but then I was afraid she was going to do what she always does. I've already heard that. The beginning of me starting the story. Yeah, you told me that one already.
Did you tell us?
I probably have, but we
can't remember anything. It's established.
See, this is the problem: there could be a select few listeners that mm-hmm. do, and the guys in there definitely do, right? You know the one Vince Scully story. I was out there at Omir Santos. You know this one? Mike doesn't know this one?
Uh-oh.
All right, you want to hear the story?
I don't recall. I probably know in the middle of it, then I'll say like Gina.
All right. Yeah, tell me that! All right, here's my one Vince Scully story. So I go out as a producer of the midday show at WFAN to Mets-Dodgers that year. It was like 2009. Right. So we're in press dining. It's me, Joe Beningo, the midday host at WFAN, and Jay Horowitz, who is the Mets PR director.
Okay.
Now, Jay's got a major lisp, so when I do his impersonation, I'm just sounding like him. I'm not trying to make fun of him, right?
Okay.
So he goes, Vin, come over here. Come over. I got a couple friends I want you to meet from New York. So Vin comes over. He puts out his hand, starts shaking our hands, doesn't say hello, but goes right into a story. He goes, and I can't do a great Vin Scully, but he says, do you know you guys have a catcher named Omir Santos? And Beningo's like, bro, yeah, I know. He goes, yep, Omir Santos. I'd never heard the name Omir before. So I talked to the young ladies who serve us the food here, who happen to speak a lot of Spanish. And I said, Omir, what does that mean? And they all put their hands over their mouths at the same time. And then one of them said to me, penis. It's slang for penis. You have a catcher with a first name of penis. Nice to meet you guys. And I walked away. That's my Vince Scully story.
I never heard that. That's a great one.
Yeah.
You should tell that one all the time. And you do a pretty good Vince Scully. Don't sell yourself short.
I will never forget that. Ever in my life. All right.
Oh, my God.
Coming up next.
You have a catcher named Penis. How did Penis play?
I know. Not very well.
Oh.
Not very well.
Okay. He was flaccid. All right.
Coming up next. Where in the world is Adrian Gonzalez? And another idiot breaks himself by doing something stupid. But first, Brian Jones has got this.
All right. Here's the truth. Many of you have simply had it. You've struggled with pain long enough, and you want what I wanted. 100% drug-free answer to your pain. I'm here again to help you with those answers to your pain. After a professional career in football, I dealt with plenty of pain. Yes, of course, I'm talking about Relief Factor, but the really big news is that anybody struggling with pain can lower, even eliminate your pain with this wonderful product. My problem was shoulder pain, foot pain, arm pain. I have it everywhere, but you know what? I am feeling great. I take Relief Factor religiously. Just ordered a couple new packets of it, and they got here as soon as they could, and I'm so thankful they did. Maybe you'd like to play golf or tennis again without pain, or take those nice long walks again, or how about sleeping through the night without pain? Neck, back, shoulder, hip, and knee pain can be simply awful. Here's what I suggest. Go to relieffactor.com, order the 3-week quick start, a super value at just $19.95, so you can see if it will help you like it did me and currently does for me. I'm pleased to announce that for all of October, the owners of Relief Factor are donating $5 of each $19.95 3-week quick start to children in need. ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
I just feel like all these same words have been used to describe these games. We should be better than that. You got one? I guess not.
Nope. It was good.
Bogus is a wordsmith.
It was a gooder. Mm.
Wordsmith Bogus.
I'm still
baseball expert Bogus.
That was good baseball. That was great. But the classic ones you would think involve your squad, right?
Well,
I mean, you appreciate that. That was outstanding. That was excellent for the Dodgers to come back 2 down and tie it, and then the Astros go back up.
It's totally different, right? I mean, when you're talking about,
because I go back to 2001, you got 3 games, 3, 4, 5 here with the Yankees and the home runs, Mr. November and all that. And even before that, you got Kirk Gibson speaking to the Dodgers, and you've had others throughout history. So it's a good one. It was a good one. That's my...
A good one?
It was a good one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I think when it's personal to you, of course, it has a different thing. But when you try to be objective about it and look at it that way, I think you have to put this up there.
So you have nothing else to add other than it was an all-timer.
Not, I would say nothing else to add.
Well, you're going
to
land on that.
I don't feel like saying epic. I feel like epic is used too much.
What about instant classic? I feel like that's new, no?
game of the century. Mm. Don't we say that every year in college football? It's the game of the century.
I feel like instant classic, that was used because of ESPN Classic, and
yes.
they had a instant classic feature where they replay the game like immediately.
Right. Yep.
It was.
Tweet us at Gio and Jones. We don't get enough action over there anyway. At Gio and Jones, G-I-O and Jones on Twitter. Pete is eager. Professor Pete is eager to give us one of these.
How about a cornucopia of excitement?
All right, shut up. Turn that mic on.
Cornucopia.
What are
of
you?
Excitement.
Cornucopia of excitement.
Made me hungry for Thanksgiving.
I mean, the horn of plenty. That's where we're going with this, Pete.
Right.
It was an ocean of fun.
A canyon of pleasure.
A barrel of drama.
That's a canyon of pleasure.
That's the tagline for Epcot Center.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's that canyon?
Let's go to the...
Where's that on the map?
And then we went down in February to Epcot. You know, we did all the things you do. Canyon of pleasure.
Yeah. I'm writing that down.
The
That's
crevasse
good.
Of delight.
Now, Epcot is for us grown-ups.
All the touristy things.
This is a short line at the Canyon of Pleasure. Get right in. Let me see your stamp.
There's a lot of room in there. You can fit a lot of people at once. All right. Well, tweet us better adjectives to describe.
Wow. Try. Game.
Yeah, the game last night. Right.
Game over.
You got an uphill battle now.
Yes, you do.
All right, Bogus is here with an update.
So, yes, it was 3-1 Dodgers through 7, then 3-2, then 3-3 after Marlon Gonzalez's solo shot top nine off previously unbeatable Dodger closer Kenley Jansen. The Astros took their first lead in the 10th on back-to-back solo shots from Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa. But then the Dodgers scored twice to force an 11th inning, and that's when George Springer hit one out of sight.
Springer, fly ball well hit to center field. Long run for Kike Hernandez. He can't get it, and it is gone, a home run.
Charlie Steiner on Dodgers radio.
Sure about that, Chuck? Jeez. He's had to get Sterling rubbed off on him all the years that they worked together.
Springer, the fourth long ball of extra innings, the seventh of game two. Charlie Culberson went deep for the Dodgers before Chris Devensky finally caged Yasiel Puig for a 7-6 World Series tying victory that almost killed Correa.
Oh, my gosh, so much fun. It was a crazy game. Almost had a heart attack in the last inning. I don't know what to tell you, man. It was so much fun to be on the side that came up with the win. It was an unbelievable game.
Game three in Houston tomorrow night. No game of any kind had ever included 5 extra inning home runs, the 8 total, a World Series record. Away from the postseason, Red Sox second baseman Dustin Pedroia had surgery yesterday on his troublesome left knee. He's out 7 months, which means he'll miss the start of next season. Thursday Night Football takes you to Baltimore for the Ravens and Dolphins. Ignore the fact that these are two of the most anemic offenses in the NFL. Matt Moore starts for the injured Jay Cutler from Miami. Coverage starts at 8 Eastern on CBS. Patriots linebacker Dante Hightower will not play this weekend. Could miss multiple weeks with a right shoulder injury. That from the Boston Herald. And Panthers linebacker Luke Kuechly went through practice yesterday. He remains in the league's concussion protocol, but is on track to play Sunday. That according to head coach Ron Rivera. Mikey B beaming this morning because his Nets didn't blow a game last night. They thought about it, wasting a 14-point fourth quarter lead before topping the Cavaliers in Brooklyn 112-107. Both teams now 3-2. LeBron throwing all his body parts at his team's uneven start.
I don't know if I could put my hand on it or my foot on it right now. We'd be much better. It's just taking us too much time to get into the game, like get into the flow of the game. Teams are playing with a faster pace than us to start the game. And, you know, we have to figure that out for sure.
Yeah, I watched a lot of that last night because you don't normally get a chance to see the Cavs on local TV. So I was flipping back and forth with that. And LeBron was just angry the whole time. Like, he just had...
Could you put your hand or foot on it? Why?
I mean, I think that they still have... Even though there's a lot of guys there, they're guys in different roles. Yeah. And then the new people that are there, just they looked... Sort of herky jerky in their
That's
offense.
It's going to take a while for those guys to gel. A lot of new faces on that roster.
And the Nets are just funny, man. Like they're just like a bunch of misfits that just like are balls to the wall for the whole game.
There's so much hair and
I was just saying
crazy.
They got so much hair. These guys, they got more hair than any team in the NBA. And then even Ian Eagles called what he said. He said something with the fro. I forget what it was, like a fro throw or something. Like Jared Allen, who's got this big fro at the line. He's like, we're going to call this a fro throw.
That's right, hook him.
But he
don't say it like that.
It was actually an entertaining game to watch. It was good to have.
How's he playing? Speaking of hook him,
Look at me. Ask Mikey B. Oh. He's playing well.
Oh, thank you.
NBA expert.
let's put 20 seconds on the clock here. How many Brooklyn Nets can you name in 20 seconds? Ready? In 3, 2, 1.
Jared Allen.
Yeah.
And D'Angelo Russell.
2.
Jeremy Lin.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Pretty good.
Dwayne Schintzis.
We're going way back, huh?
You got five more seconds.
I'm done.
Oh, that's it. Three's not bad. Three's not bad.
I can't even name the coach. Who's our coach now?
Kenny, we've done this how many times? Kenny Atkinson. I feel like we've asked that question like 50 times.
Kenny on the show too, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never asked that.
Oh, yes, you have.
This would be impossible to find, but yes, you've asked this.
Yeah,
Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Who starts for them other than Russell and Allen?
Well, Russell didn't start last night. Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yes.
Did.
Yeah.
Who?
Spencer Dinwiddie, another guy with a lot of hair.
Spencer, who's the center?
Mozgov.
Mozgov started there last night.
Timofey
started there last night.
Timofey is close to me and he didn't call.
Karis LeVert, who is Dr. Beseglia's favorite.
Karis LeVert.
Karis.
Conversation, too.
Yeah. Even Mike thinks this sucks. Like, you, the biggest Nets fan
LeVert,
in the world.
Is he a guy from Michigan?
Yes, from Michigan.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool.
And then the hyphen, Rondé Hollis Jefferson. That's his nickname.
Rondé Hollis Jefferson.
They call Arizona.
They call him the hyphen.
Huh. Yep. Damari Carroll.
Yep, Damari Carroll. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, a heartwarming speech on opening night, promising to make Brooklyn proud. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that was a low point for me as a pseudo Nets fan that Damari Carroll is making.
A pseudo Nets fan?
Yeah, I mean, like, if I had to pick an NBA team, it's the Nets. But I'm not as committed as Mike. I don't want to put myself alongside Mike. I am a Nets fan.
Okay.
But like, I'm not going to watch the Nets like I watch the other teams that I like that much.
So he delivered on that speech, right?
I guess he did, yeah.
Yeah, look at them. Beating the Cavs, man.
Five games.
Here they come.
What's their record through five?
3-2.
But they could be 5-0.
Yeah, and they beat the Cavs last night, and everybody played. It's a big story in sports. We should open with that.
No Wade.
Get out of here. All right, what else you got for us?
What else we have? Oh, the Warriors getting by the Raptors 117-112. The Lakers outlasted the Wizards 102-99 in overtime. The Mavs got their first win 103-94 over Memphis. And the Rockets stole a 105-104 win in Philly. Eric Gordon's three at the buzzer. You don't care about hockey, so back to you, Greg.
Okay, so we were talking about Adrian Gonzalez yesterday and the saga of him not being with the team. And then he was in Italy, and then he was at the Dodgers studio doing some stuff in El Segundo.
El Segundo.
I feel like
lived out there.
Is it Segundo or Segundo?
Well, we probably Segundo. We said Segundo.
I love El Segundo.
That's the Raiders, when they were in L.A., their training facility was there in old junior high school. It was a mess.
My two favorite places in California to say are El Segundo and San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
Those are my two favorite.
Beautiful part of Cali.
Yeah. So he was in that studio there for Sportsnet L.A., and then yesterday, guess where he was? He was back with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
There he was, Adrian Gonzalez, and he said, quote, people were going to be like, oh, doesn't it suck? My whole thing is avoiding this, avoiding the article. So then they swept the division series, so I'm like, okay, we're all superstitious guys. It's a superstitious sport. I don't want to show up, and all of a sudden they lose and be like, oh, man, I'm bad luck. Well, guess what happened last night? He showed up, and they lost.
Yeah, he's in the dugout. He's at the clubhouse. He had talked to Puig and I think Turner, and they said, man, yeah, come on down. And, you know, at least he got the temperature of the guys. And, you know, he also asked permission to go to Italy. His wife is taking some course over there, a designer course in fashion, and he asked permission to help move her over there. And the Dodgers, they said, okay, do your deal. And he was there for a little over a week, and now he's back. And He's right, though, and we've said this many times on the show. Athletes are the most superstitious people on the planet, especially baseball players. And so for him not to – I understand now him saying he didn't want to be a distraction, but he didn't say initially, at least the reports we had, that centered around being this superstition. And so he shows up, and they finally blow a game after the eighth inning with the lead, and now the series is all tied up. But I buy this explanation. Still, me, I don't know if I take off during the playoffs and head to Italy, but that's the timing of it. Mama has to go. You want to help her out, so be it.
This is one of those over-the-irony moments, right? Because here you have a guy who doesn't want to be a distraction, so he stays away, but him staying away has now become a story.
Yeah.
So if he would just been there the entire time, nobody would even be talking about him, and this is what he was trying to avoid. And he was there batting practice, and then I think he went up to a suite to watch the game, and he is scheduled to travel with the team to Houston, but I don't know if after last night he's going to.
Hey, dog, go back to Italy.
If they're that superstitious. Here's the other thing I teased after our first segment. So Joel Berry of North Carolina, we got to know him last year. He lost a video game to a couple other – teammates and a manager
Theo
on the team.
Theo Pinson?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the manager.
And the manager. So then he punched a wall – or punched a door, excuse me. I got to get the details right. Punched a door out of frustration, breaking his right hand. So, I mean – I'm happy that the real details of this came out as opposed to some sort of stupid lie that we're supposed to believe.
And who doesn't get upset about losing a video game? People do that all the time.
Who do you mean? Who doesn't?
People get upset.
Well-adjusted, mature people?
Competitive people get upset about losing in pretty much anything.
Okay. And so, How many of those people punch walls and break their hands?
If you allow me to finish, I was going to say that. It shouldn't rise to the level where you're punching a wall, but I've seen this and heard this movie before, and you shouldn't do it, but people do it. Get caught up in the moment.
He couldn't burst because of the super.
And now they lose their most outstanding player from last year's Final Four for about a month.
Remember that? We played the gaming play-by-play. That's the drop Pete just played. He couldn't burst because of the super.
What are you standing up for?
Why?
Oh, people in their video. I haven't played a video game in years.
I haven't played them in decades. But you know these guys are competitive. They're probably throwing controllers and everything.
Well, that's a hell of a lot better than punching.
Well, of course it is. That goes without saying. But I'm loving the name of, I think this is a new player on the roster. You know, just trying to find out who's going to be the point guard while Barry's out. Seventh Woods is a player on the UNC roster. Seventh Woods.
Wow.
Yes. Probably some golfers in that family. Give me my seven wood.
Well, if
which you don't even use anymore. But seventh woods. Yeah.
Wow. I got to see this guy.
Yeah, he said Pinson has played point guard the last two practices, which has pushed seventh woods and Kenny Williams. Buying to replace.
Where have all the Kenny Williams gone? You know, like
seventh woods.
That's what we need to write a new song instead of "Where Have You Gone, Joe DiMaggio?" Where Have You Gone, Kenny Williams? Because now we've got seventh woods.
Yeah.
Yeah, there he is, sophomore.
Can't make it up.
Number zero.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy's...
He's got to be number seven, don't you, right?
Yeah, you would think so.
Come on. Zero?
Yeah. He's a unique character, this seventh woods.
I bet there are a ton of people out there who punch things after playing video games and losing to their buddies.
Just breaking
not a ton of professional athletes that are collegiate athletes.
Well, they're professional, so...
Yeah.
If he has like six other siblings in their first, second, third, fourth,
that'd be great.
Sixth, no, it wouldn't.
That'd be great.
No, we'd have to talk.
What's
to
up,
people.
Six? Six Woods? What's up, Fifth Woods? Fourth Woods? What'd you get on that paper? Third Wood? Hey, Second Woods? How your mama doing? Oh, First Woods, that was dope, dog. Yeah. First Woods, Zero Woods.
Zero Woods. Papa Woods, Mama Woods. First Woods, Second Woods. This is ridiculous.
Eighth Woods.
I got to find this out. I have to. They can't, because, I mean, do you just name, if you have.
Seventh Woods. It had there been six before him, right?
Come on. I'm trying to look it up.
Look up his history.
Yeah, see if you can find that, Mike. Give you some
Seventh
to do
Woods.
In there.
Seventh Woods with the dunk.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk a little NBA basketball from last night. We've got Phil Savage on the show. We've got three members of the cast of the CBS show Superior Donuts joining us in studio.
Oh, they're going it's going to get thick up in here.
Yeah.
We're going to have Seventh Woods.
Four. I'm sorry, four of them. Yes.
Six Woods. Excuse me.
Yeah, we're going to have four donuts in here.
They better bring some donuts, too.
Now, do we have enough microphones here? We got this one over here.
Probably not.
Laps.
What?
Wait, sit
what?
On your laps.
No, not going to do that. Let's see. We have...
Well, we got two and two.
Yeah.
Share.
But there's another mic here.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work?
Yeah, no. It hasn't worked for 5 years.
Oh, that's too bad.
So they're going to have to do-si-do to comment?
Yeah. It's going to be tricky for us.
Yeah, it's going
to
be tough.
Because we're going to have to address each guy. This one's for you.
Yeah.
Maz Jabrani. This one's for you. Rel Battle. Coming at you, David Koechner.
He's the youngest of six children.
Seventh Woods is. Okay. What are the other names?
Doesn't
the
have
siblings.
The, doesn't have the siblings.
If
names.
The Woods family did that. We have
wow.
to. We got to have a talk with them.
Yes.
Be like, what is first? I mean,
come on. The first one has to be First Woods. Come on, it has to be. Please, just for the purposes of the show,
right?
Please,
or at least one of them.
Yeah,
not all of them have to be a number. At least one of them be like, you know, Third Woods or Fifth Woods.
Well, at least after the third one, maybe they thought they were going to stop at three and say, okay, damn, fourth one, fifth one, Fourth Woods. Let's just call it the Fourth Woods.
He's retired and naming
oh,
kids.
Another one, Fifth Woods.
All I don't want to name another kid. I just call it Seventh.
Yeah.
All right. We're coming right back.
Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the same old thing. It's epic. It's classic. I'm just getting bored with these adjectives, you know? So one guy said a plethora of exuberance.
Okay. Okay.
And another guy said juiced is the best way to describe it.
Mm.
Someone very cynical.
Yeah.
Watching baseball. It's Skip. It's the little Skip from Mount Lebanon.
There you go, Skip.
And
thanks, but no thanks.
And the guy, Jacked. A guy who tweets us more than anybody,
Lenny.
No,
oh, somebody beats X-Ray Lenny.
Yes, Noquisi Waya.
Yeah,
Noquisi.
What's up, Noquisi?
Noquisi Woods the seventh. Exciting, he said.
Noquisi, come on,
Queese.
You're better than that, dog.
Queese, let's go, man.
Come.
Queens. I mean, the rest of the Wayas have to be totally embarrassed by your contributions.
Definitely.
Jeez, do better than that, huh? I mean, we came up with the Canyon of Pleasure, and you come up with exciting? You can tweet us an adjective or a phrase at Gio and Jones, G-I-O and Jones, on Twitter. Now, David Stern, the former NBA commissioner, came out yesterday and said that he believes that medical marijuana should be allowed in the NBA. It should not be on the banned list. So this is a guy who obviously knows what he's talking about. So
because he put it on the list, not medical marijuana, but marijuana. He tightened the rules during his reign over the NBA. He said he had guys coming to him saying players are showing up to the games high. And so he definitely... dropped the hammer down as far as the rules on marijuana during his tenure.
This was a quote from him. It was generally known at some point until we tightened the rules that a lot of our players were smoking a lot of marijuana. In fact, some of our players came to us and said, some of these guys are high coming into the game. But we began tightening it up, and at that time people accepted the generally held wisdom that marijuana was a gateway drug.
Mm-hmm.
And if that you start smoking, you're liable to go on to bigger and better stuff. So
bigger and better.
Yeah, what's David doing in his post-commissioner
career?
You know
it's better, man.
Yeah, right.
Bigger stuff. Okay, you could have stopped there, but better.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, there's a major. We've talked about this. I like to bring it up from time to time because I do think it's something that's important to make the distinction between, you know, people use the cannabinoid oils or that people would take the THC out of it. I think that all of it should just be legal. And by the way, does the NBA even test anymore for this stuff?
If they did, it'd probably be no games.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like they talk about it's on the banned
right.
list.
Right, why is it on the list?
Is it real? I mean, I think everybody's just doing it. It's the same thing in right. baseball, right? They don't do street drug tests in baseball.
No,
they don't do them in hockey either.
Yeah, only NFL.
Yeah.
NFL is behind the times. And Al Harrington, who interviewed David Stern, is an entrepreneur in that field, the medical marijuana field, and an advocate. And he said he used the CBD oils during the end of his career in the NBA for a botched knee surgery that he sustained or underwent. And it helped with the inflammation. And he and a lot of different players are choosing to go that route, and a lot of former players alternative route and using the CBD oils that don't possess the psychoactive elements of THC.
So last night it was the game that Twitter made a bigger deal than it should have been, and that was the Lakers and the Wizards out in L.A., and you had LeVar Ball say that the Wizards better watch out because Lonzo doesn't lose two games in a row, and then Marcin Gortat said that
man, please.
Yeah. Please. John Wall's going to fillet the guy in so many words.
Yeah.
And then you
chop him up in little pieces.
You had all the Lakers come out with quotes. Yeah, we paid attention to that. And guess what happened? The Lakers beat the Wizards last night, and John Wall wasn't all that good. So
what do you have, 19 in the ballgame?
I mean, for him, he wasn't all that good. So a win for the Ball family, and there's nothing like LeVar, the camera on LeVar Ball when he's getting exactly what he wants.
Well, his son scored 6 points in the game, but he had a double-double. I agree with you, but he had 6 points, double-double, and they won in what I like about Lonzo Ball, he goes about it in his own manner. He allows the game to come to him, and he's not trying to shoot the lights out. I think a couple games ago he had 29 points, but he allows it to come to him, and he wants to get everyone else involved. And the Lakers, Luke Walton and others have been pushing him, man, shoot more and get more involved in the offense from a shooting standpoint. But he has been able to stave that off, at least for now, and allows the game to just flow organically and get involved. But here's the problem with what the Pops is doing. And while Washington lost this game and John Wall may not have had a 25-point night, he is now forcing the teammates to have to answer for Lonzo Ball all the damn time. And that's going to get old quickly. We're 5-6 games into this season, and every time LeVar Ball puts something out there, and let's say the opponent, they respond to it, now as a teammate, you're already going to stand up for your guy. You're gonna be there for your teammate, but now even more so, you're thrown in the middle of this drama because of dad. At some point, he's got to shut up because that's too much more responsibility he's placing upon the teammates of Lonzo Ball, and it's gonna wear on those guys eventually, and they won't have Lonzo's back.
Yeah, at least for one night, it seemed to inspire him a little bit because they played really well, and also the quotes leading up to it, they were saying. The reaction wasn't, we don't want to talk about this. This is ridiculous. Like, LeVar, you could talk to him about it. It was, yeah, we took notice of what Gortat said on Twitter, and we're taking notice of what people are saying. And, you know, Patrick Beverley, of course, embarrassed Lonzo Ball. So if Lonzo is everything that he seems to be, they're going to want to have his back through this, regardless of the reasons why people are gunning for him.
Well, if it's a player who just comes out and says something about him, that's fine. But if it's the father who's instigating all this, at some point they're going to say, please tell your daddy to shut up. Or they may just come out and say it to someone in the media, he needs to shut up.
Cam Newton, once again, getting criticized for behavior.
He needs to talk.
In a press conference. It's Gio and Jones. Coming right back, CBS Sports Radio.